Shalom. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The scriptures that we have read out of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and also Jesus repeating in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. I would like to go back and make a couple of comments out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And God is speaking that these are commandments that he is giving. So this isn't something we're going to do on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays between 10 and 2 and just forget about it at any other time. But a commandment is something that is to be within our heart, that we are going to follow Jesus in discipleship and stay close to him. How close do we have to follow him? We can never let him out of our sight. He is the Lord. He is our wonderful Savior. And as we follow him, he teaches us and shows us how to live our lives. And before I came to know him, I was a young man, 18 years old. I was a sinner and very good at it. And I went to university. And it was while I was at university, age 18, that he came into my room one night when I was studying and began to have a talk with me. And I heard his voice exactly as you can hear mine now. And he changed my life forever. And I promised him I would serve him all the days of my life. And to the best of my ability, I've tried to do that. So I've been walking with him since 1957. And it's been a precious, wonderful walk that only he can lead and guide in by the power of his Holy Spirit. And so as he gives these commandments, but he says to Israel, I'm going to take you into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. To me, that's a very interesting description of a country, a land, or where they're going. I would stop and think now. I've been to Singapore on a number of occasions, and if people ask me, have you ever been to Singapore? Yes. How would I describe Singapore to my granddaughter? I'd say, you would love it. It has more shopping centers than any place in the world. She would dearly love that. To somebody else, I would say, you know, it is a beautiful city. It is so well maintained. It's a gorgeous the way that it's upkept and along the roads and everything, it's beautiful. Somebody else who is an architect, I'd say, oh, if you want to see some different buildings, go to Singapore. But God describes this nation he's taking the children of Israel to. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Very interesting way to describe the land. You see, if there is a land flowing with milk, that means there has to be some animals. In fact, if it's flowing with milk, there has to be a multitude of animals that are going to give milk. And a very interesting, just a modern day a statistic is that the cows in Israel today give more milk than any cows in the world. They've had all kinds of people come and, what do you do with your cows? You get such a high milk production. And they quote to him, well, we read Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 3. That we're going to be a land flowing with milk. And God has granted that. And so Then, but it also has honey. Well, of course we know the honey comes from bees. And without bees, you see, there would be no food for the animals that are going to give the milk, because it's the bees that do the pollination. And so God is promising, you're going to have a land that's going to be bountiful. You will have enough to eat. It'll be very prosperous. From there, God goes on to show all the things that he's going to do for the children of Israel. He certainly has. If you've ever been to Israel, you'll know that it is, to me, it's very beautiful, I think, you know. We raised our children in Jerusalem, and it is a wonderful place to raise children. But many people just see what the little clip they get on their news media, and they think, oh, that's Israel. Oh, I don't want to go there. But it is an extremely safe place, and it's a wonderful place with all its errors and flaws and everything, like every nation has. But God still loves Israel. And he that keeps Israel, he never slumbers, he never sleeps, and he still loves us Jewish people. What a miracle! But as we understand God as a covenant-keeping God, if he does not keep covenant that he promised to us through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if God does not keep that with us Jewish people, what hope do you have? You have absolutely no hope if God fails us Jewish people. But he's not. He's keeping his word. He's returning us to the land. And he gives this commandment, which we call the Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is a commandment. There's a reason God tells us this. And we find when we look over in the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy, and in verse number 12, it says, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? And the reason that he is asking that is told in the 13th chapter, beginning at verse number 1, of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You see, God will put a test to us to see, do we really love him more than anything else? Is he number one in our life? Do we give the preeminence to the Lord Jesus in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, in the things that we do? And so an examination comes. Well, then we had the reading out of Matthew 12, but also Jesus says the same thing in the Gospel of Mark chapter 12, and again in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. And there he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind, with everything that's within you. And this is a commandment. Now, when God gives a commandment to us, he will not require of us what he doesn't require of himself. So the question I would just pose to you is, if we're to love him with all our heart and all our soul, according to what we have read and what Jesus repeated in three different places recorded in the New Testament, what does he love with all his heart and all his soul? There's only one place in the whole Bible that tells us the answer to that question. No other place is it written. And I will tell you before we read it, it has to do with the Aliyah, the return of the Jewish people to Israel. It's the only thing God says, I am going to do with all my heart, all my soul. Because of all the things that are associated with the return of the Jewish people. You see, the second coming of the Messiah, of the Mashiach, the Messiah, Jesus, depends on us Jewish people going home to Israel. Now, you may have never thought about that. Maybe you have. Maybe you know. That's why, you see, God is looking for his church to pray for the Jewish people, for Israel. If you want to see Jesus come again, then pray for the return of the Jewish people, because God promises us in the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah that the king and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come after the Jewish people have gone back home to Israel. Ezekiel chapter 36 says, evangelism will break forth when I take the Jewish people in front of the eyes of the Gentile and I take them home to Israel. Know this, that I will let the nations come to know that I am the Lord. End time evangelism is the great release that God wants to give, has to do with the return of the Jewish people to Israel. And Russia is probably one of the greatest examples we can give today, the former Soviet Union, because prior to its coming down in 1990, it was very difficult to even find a Bible in the Soviet Union. It was very dangerous to meet together as believers, and the persecution of the Jewish people was very, very great. But in 1990, the Soviet Union disintegrates. The Jewish people go home to Israel, and tens of millions and millions of Bibles go into Russia. And multitudes of people get saved. Some of the biggest churches I've ever spoken in are in the former Soviet Union. It's a miracle. Whereas before, you could hardly find a Christian anywhere. But now, a mighty, mighty move of the Spirit of God. And when the bishops that I met with there, when they understood that the evangelism breaks forth when the Jews go home, they said, we have to teach our churches, pray for the return of the Jewish people so that more people can come to know the Lord in those nations. But then God promises over and over again in the scriptures, when I take you Jewish people home to Israel, I will meet you with you on the mountains of Judea and Samaria. I will be there to meet with you, and I will make the new covenant with you. And so comes salvation for the Jewish people. So you've got salvation of the nations, you've got the second coming of the Messiah, you've got the salvation of Jewish people. All these things are dependent upon the Jewish people going back home to Israel. It's a mighty plan that God has. However, we have an enemy of our soul that hates the Jewish people. I mean, just take a look at the history of the Jews. Have tried to annihilate the Jews at the time of Jesus. You remember they were going to kill all the boys that were 2 years old and younger in Bethlehem because he was born there. You can think about Moses, how the decree went out from Pharaoh to kill all the male children. Why? Because the devil has always wanted to thwart God's plan, because he knows. You see, God had to find a people to reveal himself through to all the families of all the nations of the whole world. Now, he could have chose the Chinese. I mean, look at how many Chinese there are. Wouldn't it be so quick if God chose the Chinese and said, okay, go tell everybody, and boom, 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 and within 1 week, everything is done, and woo-woo, here comes the rapture train, and we all go home. I have a good friend. His name is Brother Andrew. He's called God Smuggler. He said, God must really love the Chinese or he would have never made so many. But God didn't choose that. And he didn't choose this people or that people or somebody else. He had nobody he could express himself through. And so he chose a dead old man and a dead old lady. That's what the scripture says. You read the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, and Abraham says, I am dead and Sarah's womb is dead. We're dead. And God came with a promise. And out of their death, he brings life. Because this is what he did in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. He did it in the very beginning, in the creation. The earth was without form and void. Chaos. Darkness is on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and the creation happens. And he brings life out of death. He's still doing that today. And so he goes to this elderly couple. And there are so many examples of this throughout the scripture. And think of the Messiah himself. He died in our place upon the cross. And God raised him from the dead. Thank God that he did. And he was the first fruit. But then think of your own self. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead in your sins. You were dead, but today you're alive because of Jesus. Correct? Are you alive in him? But you were dead. So it carries it very close to home. And so he chooses Abraham and Sarah, and they bring forth this people. And then we look at Jeremiah chapter 32. In Jeremiah chapter 32, beginning at verse number 37. Now I'm going to read 6 verses here, and I'm going to put an emphasis on 2 words. The 2 words are, I will. And when it says, I will, it's speaking about God. And I think 11 I wills from God makes one perfect will, which Satan can't stop, nobody can stop, that God is going to bring to pass everything that he says. And so let's read Jeremiah 32, beginning at verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, in great wrath. I will bring them back to this land, and I will cause them to dwell safely. That's the Aliyah. That's the return of the Jewish people. You are witnesses of that. He's doing it right now. He's reestablished nation of Israel. The Jewish people are going home. Today, when it was impossible, today we have over 1.4 million Russian-speaking Jews in Israel, where prior to 1990, that was impossible. In front of your eyes, God has done that. When from a superpower that said, you're going nowhere, you have no rights, and you get nothing, and God destroyed the Soviet Union. Verse 38, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Verse 39, then I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Verse 41, yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land, and here it is, with all my heart and with all my soul. Only place in Scripture you'll find that written. You can check it out. No other place does it say what God's going to do with all his heart and all his soul. No, it's the Aliyah. And the 11th, now we've read 10 I wills, and there's one more in verse 42 where it says, for thus says the Lord, just as I've brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have promised them. And God is keeping his word to the Jewish people. That should make your heart rejoice. As a matter of fact, you can scream, shout, because God, you're keeping covenant mercy with the Jews. How much more are you going to keep the covenant you made with me and signed with the blood of your son Jesus? And he's doing it. So let your heart be glad and rejoice in what God is doing and keeping his word, knowing he will keep his word with you as you see him keeping his word with the Jewish people. May the Lord be glorified. May the Lord be magnified. We praise his holy name. Abba, B'Shem, Yeshua. In the name of Jesus the Messiah, Father, I ask you to seal your words within our hearts, that we would not be quick to forget your commandment to love you with all our hearts and all our soul and all our strength. And exactly as we do, you have committed yourself to love the Jewish people with all your heart and all your soul. That doesn't mean you don't love others. Of course you do. Lord, I thank you that you're keeping covenant mercy with us all, and that we can trust you, walk with you, stay with you, be with you, and Lord, to become like you. It's the cry of our heart, Father. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And everybody said, God bless you.